The epistle lesson today is from the second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. You may follow along on page 213 in your pew Bible. Listen now for God's word. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Now from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Please join in my customary prayer for illumination. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. The inspiration behind internationally renowned author, reporter, columnist, and three-time Pulitzer Prize-winning author Thomas L. Friedman's book, Thank You for Being Late, An Optimist's Guide to Thriving in the Age of Accelerations, came from an experience he had when he was waiting at a restaurant for a guest. It was common when he's in D.C. for people to be running late. If you've ever driven in the metro area, you understand that. Oftentimes when his dinner companions would come, they would arrive with a whole host of excuses and apologies as to why they were late. Upon one occasion, Friedman said to his guest, No, please, don't apologize. In fact, you know what? Thank you for being late. Throughout the book, Friedman develops this thesis, which is this: to understand the 21st century, you need to go and understand the planet's three largest forces, technology, in which he elaborates on what's called the Moore's Law, which is the perception that the number of transistors on a microchip doubles every 2 years, though the cost of computers is halved. The other force is the market, globalization. And the third is Mother Nature, climate change, and biodiversity loss. And he says all these are accelerating all at once. So his comment, thank you for being late, was an opportunity to pause in the midst of all this change. Just this morning, I read a report about an inventor in Great Britain who has developed a battery for electric-powered cars that can have a range of up to 1,500 miles. Mark, there you go. Now, the current ones, I think best is 300, maybe 400. It's revolutionizing. People said it couldn't be done, but look, it's being done. Throughout his book, Friedman cites other kinds of examples. He says these accelerations that we experience are transforming five key realms: the workplace, politics, geopolitics, ethics, and community. He traces this acceleration back to an inflection point in 2007. You may recall that was the year the iPhone was released, along with major changes in silicon chip software, storage, sensors, and networking. Well, it's not all good news. The side effect of all this change has been this acceleration and that inability for humanity to keep up with this change. He has a great graph in his book that shows this curve, and it's the curve is the rate of human adaptability, which is goes pretty much like a linear curve. The other is the rate of these changes, which is exponential. And we are at a point of a gap increasing between these two rates of change. And it leads, many of you may sympathize with this, to intense frustration. Many of us feeling like we can't keep up with the technological changes. So we blame our computing devices for being faulty rather than admit our lack of technical proficiency. It seems that the more access we have to the forces of change, the more this rapid pace impacts all our living. And so we get swept along with it. We neglect to pause, take a breath, and listen. Listen to what is happening around us, listening for what is most important. It is also the case that the bombardment of information makes it difficult to think critically, because it's difficult to sort out what is true from false. We lose patience, and so we seek teachers in people or other sources, organizations, media sources, all that, who reinforce our worldview, who to scratch our itching ears. The apostle, in his second letter to Timothy, captures this idea well. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. I ask you, are we living in such a time as this? I believe the apostle, in some ways, almost looked into the future and saw our current state. If we look into the Greek of this translation, the words are even more enriching, the language more relatable and provocative. Listen to this: for there will be a time when healthy teaching they will not bear, but according to their lusts of themselves will accumulate teachers tickling the ear, and from truth their ear will turn away. That is the wooden Greek translation. Healthy teaching. Wow, that's interesting. Different than sound, a little different understanding. Healthy teaching, turning toward things perhaps that are unhealthy. It's not just then about right teachings, which are nourishing. It's about things that feed our very soul. It's not just about simple desire, but the translation is lust. It's a warped passion, motivation straying toward teachers that enwrap the senses and deceive. The ear is tickled, not just itched. It turns away and listens no longer to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit or to those around who speak words of truth, but rather to teachers who say life is uncertain and too short, so seek whatever makes you happy, whether that's sex or food or giving oneself over to idols. All of these would have been realities in the day of Timothy, and I think they are in our time as well. The writer encourages Timothy amidst all this, all that is happening around him, I think to take a pause, to take a breath, and to listen again. He tells him to think back on his childhood, to remember the stories from Scripture, stories we know from the Old Testament. That would have been his Scripture. All of it complete with the heroes and the villains, stories of God's acts of deliverance and exile, of God's people displaying bold courage and weak cowardice, times of God's direct guidance, and times in which God seemed absent. All of it is God-breathed. That is the word, God-breathed. So inhale it. Take a breath. All of it culminates in God's grand act of sending Christ Jesus as the teacher exemplar who taught us about how to live, and in doing so, he gave his life for what was worth living for, to redeem all creation. That news is good, even in times that are favorable or unfavorable. A preacher wrote, "The Bible is our book not because it tells the story of perfect people and how you better become one or else, but because it tells the story of how God looks upon the world, sees a mess of enmity and strife, and then chooses not to leave us on our own. The Bible is our book because we see the details of our fallen lives all over its pages. We see its old stories, the stories of our lives." It may just be that our society and world right now need to pause, to take a breath, to listen again to the Spirit's call. Franciscan priest and writer Richard Rohr is famous for describing the nature of Christ-infused world as one of order, disorder, and reorder. I think that could be applied in the case of Timothy. The writer encourages him to remember his order, remember those stories, remember your training up as a child when everything seemed to have a certain order. The scriptures you've known from your youth that don't change. And then maybe that phase of disorder when the writer says things are different now because of Jesus. This good news, to share in the suffering of Christ, to do the works of evangelists, to sustain and proclaim the good news in uncertain times, to help reorder the world around us. I finished with an excerpt from And now, a half century later, all the trees have grown tall and thick. The long branches, they are full of leaves, so much so that the neighborhood was considerably more shaded. The light had changed slightly, and it caught my eye because it contrasted with the much brighter mental image I had been carrying around so long, like an old picture stuck in the back of my wallet. Those trees and I had both grown up and out from the same topsoil. And the most important personal, political, and philosophical lessons I took from the journey, that is the book he wrote, is that the more the world demands that we branch out, the more we need to be anchored in a topsoil of trust that is the foundation of all healthy communities. We must be enriched by that topsoil, and we must enrich it in turn. Friedman is not necessarily writing from a faith perspective, but I think his image suits us all. The church is the topsoil of our growing. Today, together, we dedicate our pledges of financial support as well as time and abilities because we trust that when we pause together here from the relentless pace of life, when we come together, when we collectively breathe together the Spirit, then we come to again realize who we listen to. It is God alone who guides us in our way. It is God alone who is worthy of our worship, not the things that would want to tickle or itch our ears every day. And as we listen to God and as we listen to each other, it is from there we are transformed more and more into God, who God is molding us to be. We learn what it means to be self-controlled in a world that is out of control. We learn what it means to endure the suffering of others for the sake of showing them the God in Christ who suffers with them. We learn, friends, to carry out the fullness of ministry together so that the world comes to see that God is reordering all the time. And so I'm giving you today permission. When you're feeling overwhelmed, when your computer seems to be acting against you, when the acceleration of change all around you seems to be passing you by, pause. Take a breath and listen. It just may be in that moment that you gain a sense that it isn't about the changes that seem to be accelerating, but about the God who is always the same, who is in control of the universe, who is in control of our very lives, the one who is worthy of our trust, the one who comes to us and helps us understand the differences between truth and falsehood. We come to understand more fully that it isn't about keeping up with the change around us, but staying in tune to the changes within us. It's about a life lived in fullness. It's about a life that listens for God's voice. So today, this afternoon, don't rush headlong into the next thing. Pause. Take a breath. And listen. Thanks be to God, through whom Jesus Christ has shown us the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.